News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, 807. On Mobile Mornings, sunny, hot today, of course. What else is it going to be?
Yeah, a little lower humidity, though. And dipping into the 60s, according to Dr.
That's
Bill.
Pretty cool. That's pretty cool.
I might have to sleep outside. Okay, maybe not.
Mount Vernon, you know, they're... Somebody's breaking out a scarf. It's going to take an evening walk. So let's talk with Quinn Hillier, quinnhillier.com, and the Washington Examiner, and his observations on all things political here during this highly hyper-political season. Good morning, Quinn.
Good morning, guys.
Quinn, let's start with a scandal that really isn't, you know, there's several scandals that aren't being discussed nearly enough on the national scene, but Biden... they put him up at the top shelf of the closet not to be seen again. And last night, a very late speech, they put him on very late, maybe to escape some of the primetime viewers. And part of me thought, you know, he might give the DNC a giant screw you and resign as president. That, of course, didn't happen at all. He said, I've got five more months and a lot that I want to do. But how do we feel right now about being led, allegedly, by a president who is not mentally able to run for president again, but we're supposed to sit here and say, oh, he's doing a fine job as president with all these different things going on in the world right now?
Well, first of all, I don't think it's the same thing to say he is not mentally able to run for president as much as it is to say he clearly is not likely to be mentally able to still be president four and a half years from now at the end of his next term. I mean, he can be mostly cogent most of the time and be a little scary when he's not, but, you know, still know what's around him and serve out the term. That's different than saying he should campaign and ask people for four more years.
Yeah, the real issue, I think, Dalton, was and his electability. They were looking at him like a liability. They were so hit with a frying pan when he came out for that debate. They were like, we got to do something. And then the panic set in.
And Pelosi said as much last night to Jake Tapper. She said, I did what I had to do.
I know.
How about that? We'll play that audio later. But, Quinn, I'm not convinced he's mentally cogent enough right now. I mean, if he was able to pass it off, he'd still be running for president right now.
Well, again, you can know what's going on around you in general, have a grasp of policy, and yet get tired very easily when you're that old. And when you get tired, you get a little gaga, which doesn't encourage us, you know, if he has to take the proverbial 3 a.m. phone call. But it's not to say that he's totally non-compos mentos. There's some gray area in there. I'm just saying the bigger concern and the one reason among many why he was unelectable was there is no way on God's green earth that the guy was going to be fit for four more years. And it's a different thing to say let him serve out his term, which is iffy. Mm-hmm. And to say, give me four more years.
Yeah, I think if he took a phone call at 3 a.m., it'd take him about 28 minutes to find the light.
and we've seen, you know, since he bowed out, of course, some major swings in polling back and forth. It's like a seesaw, and now heading back towards Trump ever slowly. We'll see what this week at the DNC has to do to those polls. But
I've seen conflicting polls recently where I'm not quite sure what to make of it. Have you seen that too?
Right. Yeah, I have as well. But Quinn, you've seen this in the past as well. There's still a lot of time before Election Day.
Yeah, I am so sick of people saying, oh my gosh, it's over. One way or another. We're already on our third iteration of that this year, and I've got the receipts. People people saying, I mean, my inbox full of people saying there's no way the Democrats will ever replace Biden. I said, just wait and watch. Yes, they will. Then they said, well, you know, after Trump was shot, he's got it in the bag. He's got the sympathy vote. There's no way he can lose. And the next thing you know, he's 4 points down nationally to Kamala Harris. And now I see idiots say, well, the momentum's all with Kamala Harris. There's no way she can lose. I say, what are you talking about? I mean, do you know what a tiny little margin, 2 or 3 or 4 points, is? And that's when I hearken back to many examples in the past. But 1988, the weekend before the Republican National Convention in New Orleans, I was in the suite with Bush campaign manager Lee Atwater. I was also driving him around town. He was in a foul mood. Why was Atwater in a foul mood? Because they were 17 points down. 17 points down. And when the smoke cleared 12 weeks later, not only were they not down 17, they had won a landslide. Electoral College vote 426 to 111. So, I mean, that's just one example of many. This thing can swing so many times in the next 12 weeks.
What was the reason behind that huge swing for Bush?
Well, first of all, it is true that the electorate was more swingable then than now slightly, but Bush had this image as the number two guy behind Reagan. He was outshined by his president. You know, there's a little tiredness of you know, 8 years of Republicans in power in the White House, et cetera. He had not established his own identity. But they also, the public also had not had a chance to be focused on just how bad Mike Dukakis was, the governor of Massachusetts, who was the Democratic nominee. And then Reagan gets up there Monday night and makes one of the great political speeches of our lifetimes. And I can remember it as yesterday. Now there's a great book out by the guy that helped Reagan write the speech, Ken Kachigan, called Behind Closed Doors in the Room with Nixon and Reagan, talks about the writing of that speech. But basically, Reagan, that one night, helped turn things around. And then the Bush campaign ran a smart campaign in the fall, and bingo, 17-point loss went to an 8-point win.
Reagan was certainly, he had his own style of leadership. He also had his own style of civility. Would you agree?
Yeah, and look, one thing that really makes me sick, and I hear this all the time, is people saying, oh, you got to be mean and nasty to win. The only reason that McCain and Romney lost were they were too nice. And first of all, I'm like, does anybody know John McCain? I mean, John McCain was one of the most irascible people in modern politics. Yeah, he actually had a big heart, but too nice? Not John McCain. And I could say some things about Romney, too. The point is, you can be tough and still be a really warm, generous, kind human being. And that's what comes across in that book by Ken Kachigan, Behind Closed Doors. Even behind the scenes, he says his very first impression of Reagan was, he wrote in his own diary after 1 week with Reagan, this is a genuinely nice man. You can be a good, decent person and still be politically as tough as nails. Why can't we have better people who are also tough as nails now?
You also referenced the 76 race, former President Gerald Ford behind soon-to-be President Jimmy Carter. I didn't realize the 35 points Ford was down, and he really brought that close, too.
Yeah, there were two polls in maybe July, one who was 35 points down, one who was 33 points down. And he made up the entire difference. You change, 18,900 votes, I think it was, and he would have won. And that was even though he lost an entire week in the last 10 days of the campaign. He spent an entire week denying that the Soviets dominated Eastern Europe, which made the sitting president sound like a moron. And even with that, he made up 33 points of a 35-point deficit. Again, a lot can change in just 3 months. And it you know what? It's likely to change back and forth and back and forth several times.
Yeah, so let's bring it back to this race. And Kamala Harris, I guess, and this phrase is overused, but enjoying the honeymoon from her being announced as the nominee on the Democrat ticket. She finally unveils some policy proposals, if you want to call them that, and then those polls start heading back towards Trump's way. And that's because the policy proposals, I mean, they were shot down from Washington Post, CNN, the New York Times.
Yeah.
You don't really see that from the liberal media.
Yeah, I mean, this lady has never, ever in her life been outside the extreme progressive bubble. So she doesn't even understand when things sound really, really stupid or when things are really, really stupid, because it's this whole liberal bubble where command and control, centralized power can solve everything for everybody. And so she comes out with this idea of price controls on groceries. First of all, every time price controls have ever been tried, they've failed.
Mm-hmm.
But price controls on groceries, do you realize that, you know, most companies have about a 6 to 8% margin on their sales? Groceries have a 1 to 1.5% margin. They're already some of the tightest margins there can be. What can you do to control prices other than to start putting people out of business, which means less availability and a downward spiral? And even, as you said, Washington Post, CNN, all these people said, this is economically illiterate. It's just dumb.
Yeah, so the price controls thing, she also talked about housing and providing first-time home buyers with basically $25,000 to get them up and going. There's been a lot of discussion about how that would affect the economy and the housing market.
Yeah. Let me say something about this. Okay, if you have something that everybody is paying $150,000 for, and you give one-third of the people out there $25,000 toward buying it, guess what? The seller's going to say, oh, well, now I can raise the prices, maybe not by $25,000, but I'll raise the prices by $15,000. They'll still be a lot more buyers out there than there are now, and I'll get a bigger profit. And all it does is end up a spiral upward in prices. It just resets the floor at a higher level. Again, completely economically illiterate.
You know what? An electorate is sitting in the prettiest position right now, outside of big corporations, for the most part, are waiters and waitresses, because both candidates have said no tax on tips.
Mm-hmm.
What do you make of that policy position for both Trump and Harris?
Dumb. I mean, granted, there's clearly an underground, you know, non-reported, a huge amount of non-reported, non-tax tips as it is. It's sort of the equivalent of a black market. And, you know, there's a wink and a nod, but to officially say that means that A, the deficit and the debt are going to go up, but B, what does that tell somebody who is, say, a plumber or an electrician who gets his wages and has to pay taxes on all of his wages, but a waiter and waitress who's, you know, what, 70% of what they make is on tips, and yet they don't have to pay taxes? Why do they get a benefit over the electrician or the plumber? It doesn't make sense.
Hey, last thing about the convention, we'll shift gears after the break. Democrats registering in the hotels under alias names because they're so concerned about the mobs right outside the hotels and outside the United Center.
We've got at the Washington Examiner, we've got some of my colleagues out there, and they keep sending pictures back of the craziness of some of these protesters. And these people are so radical. And then I just saw something this morning. One guy out there saying, "Of course I'm pro Hamas. What's wrong with being pro Hamas? Israel deserved it."
Yeah, I'm hearing even worse than that. All right, we're back in about 3 minutes. Quinn, can you hang on?
Sure.
All right. More with Quinn Hillier, Washington Examiner, quinnhillier.com. Hit us up on the text line, 251-343-0106. Mobile Mornings rolls on right after this.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. Quinn Hillier, our Tuesday guest.
He is, and Quinn, a lot of international matters we could pick and choose to talk about. A lot of folks, of course, talking about the Israel accepted ceasefire, whether Hamas will accept it or not. That's the big question this week. Let's talk about the war that began before that, and that is Russia-Ukraine, as Ukraine with the cross-border incursion and still holding their own in that Kursk region. Meanwhile, Russia has brought, they've evacuated a lot of citizens. They've brought some troops in to try to mitigate that Russian disaster. But they're also working a little further into Ukraine towards some strongholds there. What do you make of this cross-border incursion from Ukraine and what it means for the longer-term part of this war?
Well, look, I'm not in Zelensky's head, but I read in the Wall Street Journal that Ukraine has actually now taken as much territory from Russia as Russia, and that's just in 3 weeks, as Russia has taken in 2.5 years of Ukraine and, you know, different spots of Ukraine. And I'm thinking, what are they trying to accomplish? To me, my guess is they want to be able to have something to negotiate with. So they finally get the negotiating table and say to Russia, you want your territory back? Okay, good. Trade us our territory. and so they basically, if they have more Russian territory than Russia has of Ukraine, they said, okay, even swap. We go back to the pre-war borders and we're done with it. That's what I think they're doing, is they want negotiating strength.
Isn't it like 90% of the world would like for that to happen, Dalton, don't you think?
It seems pretty, most people are unanimous in wanting to see an end to this war. Do you think we are close as we've been to a potential ceasefire or some kind of peace agreement as we've been since allegedly early on in the war there was a proposal brought by Russia once that first failed incursion into Ukraine, into Kiev?
Look, I don't claim any special insight here other than just having watched this sort of stuff very closely for, 50 years. But my guess is that we're at least at the beginnings of the possibility of good negotiations, which is better than being nowhere. So yeah, it's a very small step forward if you want a negotiated settlement.
What do you make of the Wall Street Journal report that there were six Ukrainians that were behind the bombing of the Nord Stream pipeline? That's causing some tension between Germany and a lot of the rest of the allies, but especially Germany and Poland right now.
I've got to say, I had not seen that report, but whoever bombed the Nord Stream pipeline, I want to give them a Medal of Honor.
It seemed that Germany was aware of that, but now it's come out publicly, and maybe there's more egg on their face, or how do you
all that? Yeah, there was the theory initially that it was Ukraine at the U.S.'s insistence to bomb the Nord Stream. Then Germany's police force, who I guess is separate from the political establishment, continued with his investigation for 2 years, and then that's what they came up with and went to the Wall Street Journal with. They said Zelensky initially knew of the plans and then told them not to go through with it. Now, that's the report, and that they went ahead and bombed the Nord Stream. But that caused energy prices to skyrocket, especially for, Germany.
Let me back up. I didn't mean Medal of Honor, because that of course is absurd. I just meant a medal. I didn't mean obviously
right.
Quinn, we're out of time. Quinn, let everybody know where they can read your stuff if they would like to.
Google Quinn Hillier and Washington Examiner, or go to quinnhillier.com.
Thanks a lot, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Quinn Hillier, and more Mobile Mornings on the way. 251-343-0106. We'll turn up your voice for the rest of the hour. Give us a call. Breaking in a new phone back there in the screening room. Same number. On FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings. Coming to the text line here in just a minute. 251-343-0106. Also, we'll go through that big FM Talk 106.5 College Pick'em Grand Prize this half hour. Let you know what's on the line this season. This segment brought to you by Tobias and Comer Law, the local personal injury law firm that's helped get fair compensation for a ton of people. in our area for decades from their same office down on Dauphin Street. And some good tips here. I love this. I talked with this, with Desi Tobias about some back-to-school tips just last week or maybe 2 weeks ago. And he had some great ideas, just like so many ideas they have listed at TobiasComerLaw.com. Some of these I have problems with, and I'm really trying to be better about it. But one thing I have done from a very, very early age is read to my kids. And now I'm reading with at least one of my kids who's starting to learn how to read pretty well, too. And so that's a major help. I've always said learning to read fluently and write fluently is like a cheat code in today's job market.
Yep.
You would be amazed at how many people just can't read or write, and starting them at a young age, that's great. It also helps them with schooling. And Desi said, hey, you know, there's a lot of free audiobooks, a lot of free children's audiobooks on YouTube. That's a great thing to do as well, rather than just slap them in front of the TV to watch a movie for the 100th time. Free audiobooks on YouTube, very cool. He also, a tip here, put your phones away and take a walk with your kids. Now, that's the one I have sometimes the most problem with, trying to stay up to date on the news all the time, like with the DNC last night, trying to check in and see what's being said.
Mm-hmm.
You just got to put it down and face-to-face, have conversations with them, take them out on walks, go outside and play some. Very important as well. Some great tips for going back to school, and you can check out a whole lot more just like that regarding a bunch of different subjects at TobiasComerLaw.com. From car to boating accidents, defective products to workplace accidents, and maritime injuries, Tobias and Comer Law has seen it all. You'll find the phone number for a free consultation any time of the day, 251-432-5001. Again, that's TobiasComerLaw.com.
You know, speaking of walking away from it all, ran into a guy yesterday who, a very successful businessman, very bright guy, very with it, you know, in nearly every way. In November of 2020, he turned off the news and went away from it for like 3 years.
Really?
Did not watch. He was able to wall himself off and away from any. I don't know how he did it. I don't know how you do it. He did it.
Yeah.
For almost 3.5 years, maybe, something like that.
Is he back? Back in the news world?
He's back consuming the news again. And so we were talking about what we do, you know. And he was aware of that. And it was like, wow, I don't know. And the last thing I'll say about all this, I might talk to him more about this later on, or I'm going to have continual conversations with him, so something new might come out. But he came back and he said, you know what? He was jarred by where the world was coming back. So anyway, I thought that was very, very interesting.
Yeah, a lot's gone on in the last 3.5 years.
Lots happened, you know.
Happened in the last 2 months.
Yes. So I don't know how you could go away for that long a time. Run a very successful business, but he just tried to make a point, see if he could do it. He said he actually got it done. When you're talking about the networks providing Vice President Kamala Harris with some positive coverage, you're not imagining that. Now, on NBC, Christian Welker did something that raised some eyebrows over the weekend. She had the Democratic Governor Whitmer from Michigan on.
Mm-hmm.
And so Kamala Harris has come under some scrutiny for this policy she's talking about. $25,000 for
first-time homebuyers.
First-time homebuyers. Might have been another policy, too, where it was like, that wouldn't work. Anyway.
Grocery price controls.
That was it. And Welker actually asks Whitmer if it's kind of a gimmick, which I was surprised by that.
You have former President Trump calling the policies communist. The Washington Post editorial board called it a gimmick. Is this plan to ban price gouging anything more than a gimmick, Governor?
I think it speaks to Kamala Harris's values, that she wants consumers to keep more money in their pockets. She wants hardworking Americans.
Well, she goes on to basically not answer the question, okay?
Okay.
She just kind of word salads around it. Like, well, I don't think it was that big a deal. Well, you know, it was her stated policy, so it would have been a big deal. Now, as far as coverage of Kamala Harris, if you think that you're imagining that everything seems to be rainbows and a lot of it, you're not wrong. So the Media Research Center, their job is to kind of watchdog this thing. Television networks have provided Vice President Kamala Harris with 84% positive coverage since she joined the presidential race That's according to Media Research Center, and they released that. From 71 to 84% of registered Democrats and independents who voted for President Joe Biden in 2020 are mostly in the dark about many of Harris's controversial and radical positions. That's by design. The establishment media mostly failed to report on Harris's radical record as a U.S. senator, but spent more time speaking about Harris than Trump. And when they spoke about Trump, well, that wasn't good. So basically, they found out that Vice President Kamala Harris, not only has she received 66% more airtime than former President Trump, her coverage has been mostly positive, 84%, than any other major party nominee, even as Trump's coverage has been nearly entirely hostile, 89%. So anyway, again, if you're looking at it and you're thinking, well, something here doesn't seem quite squared up or fair, according to the Media Research Center, at least you know you're not going crazy because they document it and that's what's going on.
Yeah, you could see that. But it was still surprising to see some of the pushback after those first policy positions were rolled out
it
by
was.
Harris. And
that's because it's so unusual.
Yeah, and you know, the book on Waltz continues to be written, and news articles from the past that keep coming up, especially regarding his trips to China. And one student, I'll pull the story up here, basically one student that went on a trip with him, I think in 90, maybe 97, 99, something like that, he said Waltz was just glowing over communist China and how everyone is treated the same and everyone makes the same amount of money. And it, like he wasn't denigrating China at all during, of course,
and these were students.
Yeah. He's gotten some students that have come up and said, oh, he was great, this and that. But there've been a couple who said, yeah, this dude is totally in the bag for communist China.
Well, now that they're older and they realize what was going on and what that conversation was about back then, because he was the adult and they were the students.
Yeah, speaking of glowing coverage, I thought it was funny. Some media personality on Twitter during the DNC last night, they showed Waltz up in the rafters or stands, wherever, at the United Center. And at one point, his daughter puts bunny ears behind him while the camera's on him. And they said, how Minnesota is this? His daughter putting bunny ears. And someone else commented, is everything Minnesota now? Like every single thing that Walt's done does. Oh, look how Minnesota this is. It's like, no, bunny ears have been, that's a thing outside of Minnesota, believe it or not. But just trying their best to humanize them, which, you know, any politician, they're weird. I know that's the line that they use, but most politicians are weird, and just trying to humanize them, that's, what the national media thinks is their job.
Yeah,
right?
That's the trick.
Nancy Pelosi, you know, I guess her relationship with Biden is fractured now that she kind of helped push him out of the race. And she's alluded to it in several interviews that, yeah, she had a talk with Biden that didn't look like he was going to be able to win. And that she wanted him to know that the fate of the country rests on him dropping out of the race. And you know, Biden has alluded to it as well, especially in that sit down interview where he said he took some time and thought to himself and didn't want to hurt Democrats down ballot. Imagine the conversation that Nancy Pelosi would be having with him if he mentioned her by name.
Yeah.
So last night, Pelosi's on with Jake Tapper. And I don't know if it was a slip of the tongue or if this was intended, but she says, I did what I had to do. This is Pelosi.
You know what?
Have you talked to him?
What I have to do.
Right.
He made the decision for the country. My concern was not about the president. It was about his campaign.
So I think Pelosi ended up being
the hit guy.
The hit guy, yeah. Which she's been for years. But last night saying, I did what I have to do. And there's been a lot made about some of the speakers that were on the DNC stage last night. One of those is Steve Kerr, the head coach of the Golden State Warriors.
And USA Basketball.
Fantastic basketball coach. I don't think there's any doubting that. He will be in the Hall of Fame. He was a great player. Not the greatest on the Bulls, but he was good. And won some championships with them as well. Last night, on stage, he talks about the risks that come with speaking out about things in politics. Here's Kerr.
I know very well that speaking out about politics these days comes with risks. I can see the shut up and whistle tweets being fired off as we speak. But I also knew as soon as I was asked that it was too important as an American citizen not to speak up. in an election of this magnitude.
So keep that in mind. Steve Kerr, speaking out comes with risks. It's too important as an American citizen not to speak up. But let's take you back to something that's been talked about for years now, and that's the NBA's cozy relationship with communist China.
Yeah.
And remember, was it Fertitta with the Rockets, or maybe it was the Houston Rockets head coach who said something?
GM.
The GM, okay, yeah, vaguely, yeah, but critical of China.
Yeah.
And he was basically, you know, taken out of the league for his comments. And then LeBron James didn't speak up about China, but they'll talk about every single other kind of social justice cause. They don't talk about this country who is, given the NBA its multi-billion-dollar valuation, so much of that money is because China is a big NBA country, right? They're big fans of it. And Steve Kerr is the exact same. And remember one of these press conferences, he was asked about this, and he managed to turn that question into how America is such a terrible place. So when Kerr, he says it's too important right now, we have to speak up politically as an American citizen. It's uncomfortable, but I'm willing to do it. He doesn't do it when we're talking about civil rights abuses in China, the Uyghur slaves, the sweatshops, they have their own citizens toiling under to make sneakers that are probably worn by a lot of those NBA players. Yep. Here's Kerr back in the day.
I choose not to be that soundbite.
To continue our geopolitical discussion here, in all the years that you've gone to China and the teams and gone to China, has it ever come up that the NBA's business interests in China are at odds with a country whose human rights record is not in step with the United States?
It has not come up in terms of people asking me about it, people discussing it. No.
What's come up now?
Nor has our record of human rights abuses come up either. You know, things that our country needs to look at and resolve, that hasn't come up either. So none of us are perfect.
Yeah. that was Kerr. You want to wear big boy pants. You want to talk about uncomfortable truths, and you act like you're the big guy there on the DNC stage or in front of friendly microphones, but when your team goes to China and you're selling these Steph Curry jerseys like hotcakes in China, while that same country has, you know, slave camps and
with those products,
right? It's
the development of those products.
It rings so hollow, but I really don't think people, you know, especially those who are big fans of Kerr or big fans of his speech at the DNC last night. They don't see it that way either.
He may, you know, he might have some core beliefs that are just far left leaning, and he sees, inequities in the United States that, his belief system is in line with that. But we're talking about one to the other. It seems like a conversation that is not, well, I was going to say not really well thought out, but in his mind, that may be that may be an example of exactly how he sees the world right now. One thing I had, the conversation I had with the gentleman that walked away from consuming any news for 3 years or so, was the recession of some of the things that peaked out in 2020. And he noticed with me and you, like, yeah, some of that stuff now getting outdated. Some of this woke stuff, some of this DEI stuff. So yeah, they're disbanding the entire university
programs
of DEI as well. And when Kenyon Brown's report came out and DEI was part of it, we almost looked at each other like, this is not even in step. We can call it a good report or not about the mayor, what's going on in the city, at the top end of the city. But the report itself kind of seemed like sophomoric on that end. Like you're even behind what you're talking about and the way that the nation views DEI.
Yeah, a lot of things have changed. That's crazy. Just a news time capsule from 2020. Things have changed a whole lot.
It's about the time I took this job.
Yeah, that's right.
And amazing. It's 8:49.
Have you heard about the pig butchering scam, cell phone scam?
No.
Talk about that a bit on the other side of the break. Something that, you know, any of us could fall for. You need to be aware of it. And also that college pick 'em prize, we'll revisit that on the way right here on Mobile Mornings.
Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. 8:54, heading toward the Jeff Porch Show. More on that in just a moment.
Yeah. Also, we announced this morning the grand prize for the FM Talk 106.5 College Pick'em Challenge. If you're unaware, College Pick'em Challenge, we've been doing that about 5 or 6 years now.
Yeah.
We're now hosted over at runyourpool.com. It's free to play. We'll pick 10 games each week against the spread. So the point, you know, if Bama's favored by 6.5 points over, say, LSU, they'll need to win by 7.
Right.
Anyway, at the end of the year, we'll have one winner, and that one winner will win the grand prize. And Spring Hill Ace Hardware coming through again with a fantastic prize valued at about $1,000. Blackstone griddles are all the rage these days. Folks love the Blackstones, and in this grand prize, a Blackstone on-the-go outdoor griddle. This is great because you could throw it in the back of the truck, throw it in the RV, take it out with you camping or out to the tailgate. Fantastic. And along with that, also a stainless steel griddle tool set to go with your brand new Blackstone grill. And then how about this? You're going to need something cool to drink while you're grilling it up on the Blackstone. A Yeti Roadie 48. The 48-quart roller cooler included in this grand prize.
Nice. Big old cooler.
And when you need to walk off from that big old cooler, you can have just a little bit smaller cooler from Yeti to carry around with you. The Yeti Camino 35. That's the 9-gallon carrying bag from Yeti. All of that, one winner will win. And that will be the winner of the FM Talk 106.5 College Pick'em Challenge. Of course, along with that, you get the bragging rights for having beat some of the hosts and guests on this station. It's easy to sign up. If you played last year, just go to runyourpool.com, and it'll ask you, once you log in or find your password, it'll ask you to re-enter, and that's all you have to do before making your picks before next Saturday, the 31st. If you haven't played, just go to fmtalk1065.com, click on the links there. But another great grand prize from Spring Hill Ace Hardware.
Yeah, right on the front page, you'll see the football and the trophy, and there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Columnist Paul DeMarco, Trustville Tribune Scott Buttram, and ALGOP Chair John Wall, all guests on the Jeff Poor Show in just a few minutes.
So, you know, scams, especially cell phone, telephone scams, have come a long way, especially over the last couple of years. And there's a new one, and if you're like me, you've probably gotten a lot of texts just like this. The pig butchering online scams. And then they're doing this via text now. I get so many different texts, probably 5 in the last 2 weeks, with random questions and very generic, where, you know, when you get a text from somebody you maybe lost in your phone.
Yeah, so you're thinking
they're catching
this
up.
This sounds like somebody that I know, I just don't know who it is. So they get you that way.
And I normally delete them, but I got one Sunday when I was thinking about talking about this story. For instance, this one from a 316 number. It says, "Been a while. How about lunch at our favorite place to reconnect?" And hundreds of thousands of people are getting unsolicited text messages just like that, just
right,
like the ones I'm getting from people they don't know. And in a big article from the Wall Street Journal over the weekend, they said if you respond to those, you could be falling for a particularly dangerous online scam that has found victims around the world. Some have lost millions of dollars.
Gosh.
And they call it pig butchering. It comes from the Chinese term sha zupan, or pig killing plate. I don't know why they named it that, but, well, probably because of this. Victims are fattened up, made to trust the scammer, and think that the scammer is making tons of money, and then they start telling you about some cryptocurrency you need to be buying, or they'll just get you to go to the ATM and maybe put money on a gift card or something like that. All the different scams that they've had over the years to get you to send them money in some form or fashion.
So this is kind of a relationship thing. They build a trust, right?
Yeah, and I've seen documentaries on them doing that over the phone. And a lot of these come from, you know, the islands, the Caribbean, where they have just, you know, buildings chock full of people calling Americans all day, trying to make a connection, build up that trust, and then taking them to the cleaners. But this is just the latest iteration of that, sending you a random text message that sounds like it's someone you know, and then building that relationship, eventually milking money out of it.
By the way, if you get a 251 call from Bay Medical, that was a scam. I had a chance to chat with a gentleman for about 12 seconds.
Oh, boy.
Yesterday.